Thank you. Well, good morning. If you didn't get the email, maybe you can figure out we're preaching on hiking with God this morning. Scripture we're going to be basing things on is in Genesis 5, 18 through 24. I'm fully expecting a bunch of crazy stuff to happen this morning, as you will find out during my message. Thank you for the lights. That makes it a lot easier to read my notes. Hiking. To me, hiking is walking with a purpose. It's, you got a destination in mind, you have a goal you want to achieve, you know, whether you're going to the top of Everest or just going for a 2 mile jaunt down the trail. So, you know, people talk about their walk with God, and you mention, well, how's your walk going? Or, you know, my walk's been a little, you know, weak lately. I haven't really been doing my reading. Really, God's laid it on my heart about 2 months ago. That hiking, you do with a purpose. You have a definite start and an end and what you want to go to. And there's trials along the way. I got reminded of that quite a bit in the last little bit here. Webster actually defines hike, Webster's dictionary, hike, to walk a long distance, especially for pleasure or exercise. Sometimes I don't know how much pleasure it is when I'm lugging this 50-pound pack with me, but I have to ask myself a number of times while I'm on the trail, why do I do this? But there's always glory in the finish. Let's turn to our scripture this morning, Genesis 5, 18 through 24. And we're going to read about a gentleman that doesn't have a real big part in the Bible, to be honest. And some people, when I told them what I was preaching on this week, more than one, like, who's that? I said, well, you can come find out. So if you're all there, Genesis 5, 18 through 24. When Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. After he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived a total of 962 years. Then he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more, because God took him away. Now, if you notice in verse 22 and in verse 24, it says Enoch walked faithfully with God. When all the others in this chapter, okay, you're back to the beginning, go towards the end. All the rest of them say, so-and-so lived, or so-and-so lived so long, and then after he had kids, he lived so much more, and then he died. But Enoch's different. It says, well, Enoch was no more because God took him away. There's only one other person that we'll find in the Bible that did not die. One other person. Kind of ironic that Don preached on him just a little bit ago. That was Elijah. And I won't get into that too much because, like I said, Don just preached on that, wasn't that long ago, like a month ago. So it's safe to say that Enoch had a great hike with God. Because God liked it so much, he just walked right off the planet with him one day. And I think that would have been pretty cool. So I've come up with three points here today. The first point is have a plan. Have a plan. See, a plan keeps you on track. It gives you direction. Whether it's in hiking with God or hiking with your good buddy. My good buddy up here. That's my pal Robert. So you would have noticed because on the next one it had his face, so you would have been able to recognize him. Anyway, Memorial Day weekend. Robert had this plan that, well, he's been planning it for a while. That we were going on this backpacking trip. And so he springs this on me a couple weeks ahead of time and says, hey, how about we go hike the West Rim Trail? So, Pennsylvania Grand Canyon, it's beautiful. Yeah, let's do it. How far do you want to go? How many days? And she goes, let's do it over Memorial Day weekend, but you're going to need to take off Friday too. I'm like, how far are we going? It's a 30-mile hike. If you break that into 3 days, that's 10 miles a day. And that's the plan he had picked out. Now, I don't know if you heard me earlier when I said this pack isn't 5 pounds. My pack typically, when I go backpacking, whether it's a summer trip or a winter trip, it's about 50 pounds. And no matter how much I try and shave off the thing, it's still 50 pounds when I weigh it on the scale. But, so we figured 30 miles, just 10 miles a day for 3 days, shouldn't be a problem. We actually, Robert arranged for us to get a ride because in Pennsylvania Grand Canyon, there's no real loops. Okay, you start at one place and you end somewhere else. So fortunately, they have a beautiful place up there that will shuttle you to whatever place you want to either start or end, and for a small fee, but that's beautiful because they make money too. I'm all about capitalism. So we arranged to have us dropped off at the starting point, and we left our cars at the end point so that when we were done, figuring we'd be a little fatigued, we could just roll into the car and go home. Again, how hard could it be? You know, we knew how long it was. We knew the end. We had a map. Pretty simple. Easy. No problem. Until we're hiking along and we see a detour sign. West Rim Trail. Oh, we got some photos up here. Have the next slide? Maybe. The next one says detour. Put right on a tree like a posted no hunting sign. That's not what you want to find when you're hiking along on a 30-mile hike. Because you don't know what it's going to do to you. In full disclosure, we actually knew before we went, but it makes a good story for me. We still weren't really looking forward to the detour because when you detour, what it was a detour because they were logging a certain area of the woods. So you can't be in the woods at that point. They make you hike on the road. And marching on asphalt is no fun. Any military people here? Would you agree? Yes. Marching on asphalt is not as much fun as anywhere else, really. So that's what we did. We had a good long jaunt on day 3, nonetheless, when you're already wearied, tired, and beat up, that we had to trek uphill on this road. But the slide says detours happen. They happen. In life, whether it's while you're hiking, you have to take a detour. Sometimes while you're driving, you have to take a detour. It's not very fun because you typically don't have that planned. Unless you're going to Lock Haven, right, Paulie? You kind of know there's construction all over the place. You're going to have to find a new route to get to where you want to go. And we kind of had it planned out. We knew we were going to have to take this side road, and that's just what it was. Fortunately, we met up with another Christian backpackers the first night, and they're like, hey, we're going to do this. Like, we're trying to do it in 2 days instead of three. I'm like, you guys are crazy. They're like, yeah, we're going to just take this other trail, and because instead of going the extra 3 miles that this detour would have taken us on the road, we'll make up for that by this other trail. It gets us to the same place, but it cuts off about 2 miles. So we're like, hey, that's pretty good. Day three, you're already tired and weary. We saved ourselves a little bit of time by doing that. But when you don't plan for it, and you're not ready for it, it's a pretty big punch in the gut if you don't know the story. Angie was taking her mom to the doctor's on Tuesday for a follow-up appointment, and things didn't go as planned. There was a little detour. But, as she mentioned this morning, God's still God. He's got bigger things in mind. And sometimes he takes us on a detour for a reason. Most of the time I don't know that until after the detour's over. And when I preach, it's no different. Typically, I usually get a couple weeks notice that I'm going to be given a message. So I'll spend some serious time with God and find out what scripture he wants me to bring. And once I get that, then I'm like, okay, which direction do you want me to take this? And, you know, how do you want me to teach this? And I get kind of like the bullet points that you see up on the screen for Peggy. And then later, typically the week of, I'll sit down on, you know, Monday, Tuesday night, Wednesday night sometimes. Usually not Wednesday night. But I'll sit down and I'll pull like a half an all-nighter. You know, I'll stay up till 2, 3, sometimes a little later at night. And I'll get most of the message done. And then all I need is the transitions, which I do like the day or two before. So then I'm ready and not a big deal. But Tuesday this week was a little different. And had to concentrate my time a little bit elsewhere. But fortunately, I knew the plan where we needed to go, just we ended up taking a little detour this week. Point number two leads right into this. Don't go it alone. When you're hiking, don't go it alone. Because in Ecclesiastes 4:12, it says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. And a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Now let me tell you what. Probably get in trouble for this, but Angie's family's been great. You know, they've come together. I think they doing it for each other. You know, they come together and support each other, and it's been wonderful. And I know you church family, you've been gathering around her in prayer, you know, sending cards and things like that. We appreciate that. But when I hike, I like to do what's called buddy packing. Buddy packing. Yeah, because I got a buddy. And even if I'm hiking in a large group, I like the buddy pack too, because that means my burden is lessened. Typically when we pack like that, one of us will carry the tent, yellow thing on top, and the other guy will get the cook stove and all the cooking equipment that we have to use. So, you know, I don't have to carry both of those things and make it 55 pounds. Same thing with the saw and like the what else? A shovel, you know, how long we're going to be out there, meaning a shovel. First aid kit and fire starters. You know, just stuff you can kind of divvy up between you. I always like volunteering to take the food, at least for the first night, because then it disappears and you don't have to carry that weight anymore. You know, water, you got to refill that all the time, which is what this little thing here is. So instead of drinking out of my water bottle, you just kind of suck on that while you're hiking, and you don't have to stop and get your buddy to get your thing out of your pack, because if you don't strap it in, it's going to fall out and you won't notice it till later. But don't go it alone in hiking with God. Also means you should leave a godly legacy. Leave a legacy behind. We'll take the example from Enoch. Okay? Let's start all the way back with Adam. Okay? 1 Chronicles 1:1-3 tells us that there was Adam. We kind of know he came first. And then Seth. And Seth had a son, Enosh. He had a son, Kenan. And then Mahalalel. And then Jared. And then Jared had a son, Enoch. His son was Methuselah. And you may or may not have ever heard of this guy, but I hear a lot of people say, oh, he's as old as Methuselah. I've not researched it, but I think he's the oldest guy in the Bible. The one that's lived the longest on this planet. 900 plus years. Then he was the father of Lamech. And Lamech's first son name was Noah. So, if Noah's in your line of succession, going down, looking back on the plan, he's the guy that made it, because he was the only one that God counted as righteous at the time. I just wanted to wipe the planet out. So I did some math and figured out that Noah never met Enoch. I mean, these guys lived a long time, as I mentioned before. Noah, well, let's take a look here. Enoch was 65 when he had his first son. I'm 49. And I already got two kids. I'm doing it really young compared to the old times. Jared was 162 when he had Enoch. And then he lived 800 years more. So they lived a long, long time back in the Genesis world. But yep, Enoch was a father of Methuselah and the great-grandfather of Noah. I'm sure on quite a few of those walks that Enoch took his son-in-law or his grandson. That's what we do. We go visit our grandkids and, right? I don't have any grandkids, but I'm talking we as in you guys. When you go visit the grandkids, you do stuff with them, right? You still do stuff that's fun for you and also fun for them. Whether that's playing with Transformers or, you know, baby dolls or taking them out for a hike. See, I've heard a teaching that we should always have three different types of people in our lives. One, we should have a Paul in our lives. Okay? We should have a Paul that not only is a great bass player, but somebody that can teach you something spiritually. You know, Paul, like a father to many, he led many people to the Lord. He was constantly teaching. Heck, he wrote most of the New Testament. And we should also have a Barnabas in our lives, a brother type figure that we share life with. Here's my buddy. Share life with. You sharpen each other. You challenge each other. And you kick each other in the pants every once in a while to get back on track if you have fallen off the way. But we should also have a Timothy in our lives. Timothy is someone younger, spiritually, that you can pour into. You can be the Paul to them and teach them things of the world, but the ways of God. Maybe how to go hiking. Who knows? In Proverbs 27:17, going back to the Barnabas example, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And for Timothy, we need to pass on that faith to them. Teach them in the way they need to walk. See, I put this next picture in. Hopefully it'll come up. Because this tree was huge. I mean, it was really tall. But even though it appears to be big here, look at how wide the trunk is compared to the little bit of root system that it has. And there's no taproot. A taproot is a root that goes straight down and digs for water. Part of the reason this one didn't have a taproot is because there was a stream fairly close by. But it didn't even really have a wide root base. Like, it didn't go wide or deep. And our walk with God needs to do both. It needs to go deep. We need to go dig into this book here. Okay? We need to dig into this and find the Enochs that are just like 6 or 7 verses. Okay? Find out who he is. Find out the other guys in here. Okay? The obscure little guy, you don't even know how to pronounce their name because it's like 19 consonants. But find out why God put him in there. Go deep. Your relationship with God, you should be talking to him all the time. Be in prayer constantly. But we should also grow wide. And by that, I mean, have a Timothy over here and another one over here. You know, a couple of Barnabases that you hang out with and are accountable to. And some Pauls that are feeding life into you as well. Point number 3. I get to that because point number 3 is look up and enjoy the view. Because when I hike, sometimes I get caught just plowing ahead. Head down, I typically have 2 sticks with me, and I'm just going forward. You know, I'm following the trail. But that can be problematic because on the trail, if you've never been hiking on one of the major trails, they typically have blazes that you follow. It's like a little paint mark on the tree. And the way it's supposed to work is that when you're standing at one of them, you should be able to see the next one this way and the next one this way. Because sometimes you got to go back on the trail to get back to where you came from. Not always, because sometimes the tree that you're looking for fell down. But you got to look up to find them, because if you're just looking at the ground, you're hiking along and 2 paths kind of go different directions, you take the wrong one, you're now on the red trail instead of the orange trail. Not going to get to where you think you were going to get to. Keep your head up. Enjoy the view. Because, again, I am guilty of hiking along and missing the doe that was over here. Or there's a beautiful vista over here and I missed it because I'm just plowing forward. Very task-oriented when I do stuff. And sometimes my job is to get us to camp and get the tent set up and the fire started before the rainstorm comes that we can hear right behind us. Sometimes on this trip, Friday night, hope these guys don't listen to the message online, We were hiking along, and the plan was to camp at 10 miles. There was a campsite there. There was also one at about 8 miles, and one at 12, and then the next one wasn't until like 15 miles. So after we didn't take the one at the 8-mile mark, from 8 to 10, it was like this. It was like really steep. So we're hustling up. We're hiking. We passed this young two kids that had their dog with them. And you could always hear the dog because we'd pass each other as we stopped for lunch or whatever. You know, we'd kind of chit-chat a little bit. And there was a group of six of them. But the two guys, you could tell, were more experienced than everybody else. And their dog had a bear bell on it. Like, you could hear the dog coming. Jingle, 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 jingle. So it was kind of funny. But anyway, we're hiking along, and we pass these guys, and hey, how you doing, you know. And your buddies are back here. They were stopped at the last campsite or whatever. And we're going. And Robert and I are like, okay, we're going to get to this 10-mile campsite. We're both kind of beat at this point. It was funny because my GPS had us like a mile ahead of what his GPS had. So we don't know whose was right. We were just going and guessing it was up ahead here close. So we're hiking and we get to pass these guys. And then we're kind of going through laurel and stuff. And it's kind of getting thicker. And we hear these bear bells behind us. And these guys are like coming up on us fast. We're like, we're not letting these guys pass us. We need this next campsite. We're dead. We're old compared to these guys. So we're going. And Robert's like, we better pick it up. And so I started moving. Robert was right behind me. And then I hear him, like we hear these bells. And 30 seconds later, I hear Robert say, there's no place for me to move over. What do you want me to do? Like the guys asked him to move over so they could get by. So I'm trucking it. The next 2 miles uphill, I'm still doing this because we didn't get to that campsite yet. And I think of this. I think, you better start looking around as you're hiking, not just plowing straight forward because you may have missed that campsite. So we finally got there and I threw my pack down and claimed the spot real quick. And because these guys were talking about, one of them was talking about hiking Everest and then down in the Andes. And I'm like, holy cow. You guys can hike further because you're a little more experienced than I am. I'm just lucky if I get a little part of the Appalachia Trail done. So, I wasn't being the most Christian guy when I was trying to keep them blocked out. It's like, I was trucking through. But Robert always got a big kick out of that. So, Hebrews 11, 5 through 6. Let me get back to Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards us who earnestly seek him. See, what a view that must have been. Ian Enoch, or Elijah for that matter. Holy cow, that one must have been really great. Chariots of fire taking you up to heaven, that was awesome. But Enoch, you know, turning around and looking back and seeing, whew, you know, first astronaut, you know. This picture can't compare. And this picture, it doesn't even do it justice. I mean, you're out on the edge, and it's kind of like this. You know, kind of wrapped around you a little bit. And you could see the whole valley. I took this panoramic shot, and I stood there, and I went, you know, with my phone, and kind of took a while for it to even get the whole picture in there. But it was beautiful. And this is just one of many sights that we saw. Because we were able to keep our heads up. Another thing I mean by this, keep your head up and enjoy the view, is our Christian hike that we're on together, guys. Don't grumble about the things you can't do anymore. Oh, I can't go out carousing with my friends. I can't go partying like this anymore. I'm supposed to be, you know, an upright person now. You know, whatever else you can't do anymore because you got the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Look at all the good stuff we do get to do. Every time we get together, we eat food, right? No. But seriously, the thing I'm most celebrating as a Christian is I know what the picture looks like at the end. I know what the picture looks like at the finish line. You know, and I thought Robert and I were excited when we high-fived at the end of the trail. Holy cow, the party that's going to happen, the party that we're in store for, can't compare. And the beauty, the majesty, can't wait. I know some people want to put it off as long as possible. But I can't wait. I'm excited, you know, whenever that day comes. Look up. Enjoy the view. I want to turn to Jesus' brother, Jude, the book of Jude. It's in the first chapter. You don't have to look far. There's only one chapter in Jude. I'm going to read 14 to 25 for you. Because it's the third time Enoch is mentioned in the Bible. This Enoch. There's one other Enoch, but he was on the bad side. Enoch, seventh from Adam, prophesied about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and convict them all. All the ungodly acts that they've committed in their ungodliness. And all of the defiant words ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These people are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil devices. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you in the last times that there will be scoffers who follow their own ungodly desires. These are people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by the corrupt flesh. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great glory. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forever. Amen. Tell you what, Ange, Paul, you guys can come up if you want. When we're hiking along, take your time, but work your way up here. When we were hiking along at one point during the detour, we knew we had to get to this road because we could see it on the map. That we had to get it to the road. That's where we had to get to. But there was this big creek and there was a big hill that was there. And I'm going along because I'm leading at this point. I'm like, man, I know we got to get to this road, but there's no signs in this detour that are going to tell me to get across. How am I getting across this big creek? And all of a sudden, I literally thought this in my mind. I said, Robert, I know we got to get to this road, but how are we going to get there? And within 20 seconds, this bridge appears out of nowhere. I was like, wow. Thanks, God. And it was funny because on this trip, a couple times, God's like, take a picture of that. The Friday, I wasn't taking hardly any pictures. Robert was snapping a bunch of all the scenery and stuff. Most of the pictures from the scenery are coming from him. So I'll give him credit as the photographer. But Saturday and Sunday, I was like, take a picture of that. You're going to need that. Okay? Take a picture of that. That detour sign. You're going to need that. Okay. That was before I knew I was preaching on this. And then it kind of all came together. But the bridge, I was like, okay. That was fresh in my mind because I was just asking God, God, how are we going to get across this? We've got to find a tree somewhere that's down and shimmy across the tree. Because the last thing you want to do is right before you leave the woods is get all muddy and wet because you got to get in the car. But I knew what the bridge represented. See, the bridge represents how we get from where we are now to where we need to be. But in our Christian walk, we need a bridge too. Because we're all sinners, guys. We've all messed up. Okay? And I continue to do it daily. And we need something, some way, someone to be able to help us out of our mess. So our path here on earth isn't much different. We're here, but we know we want to eventually end up with God. And he said, look, for all who sinned, you're not going to make it. Okay? You can't do it on your own. No matter what you do to try and fix it, you can't do it on your own. Fortunately, our Father in heaven created a way. He gave us a bridge, so to speak, so that you can cross the gap. That bridge is His Son, Jesus Christ, who went to the cross for us and died a sinner's death that He didn't deserve. He was the only sinless man. Yeah, Enoch was one of two guys that didn't die. Even Jesus died. But He was the only sinless man that ever lived. And He willingly went to that cross to take our sins. Go ahead. Upon Himself. He did it to take our place. But all you have to do is accept Him. Let Him take your burdens that are weighing you down. Trust in your issues. Trust Him with your issues, with your situations. Lean on Him with your sorrows. Take your sins and lay them down. If you got something weighing you down, like a 50-pound pack right now, whether it's a situation you're in, or someone you're missing, it's your opportunity right now. Come forward and cross that bridge. Come up front. Pray with someone so that Jesus can be your bridge. All you have to do is ask Him.